Okay, so you couldn't have missed out. That debate last night was spectacular. It was even-handed. Everybody got a chance to talk, except maybe Carly Fiorino for a few minutes. There was a lot of back and forth. Jeb Bush came out and took his best shot at Donald Trump and looked like a three-year-old hitting his uncle's knee. And but it was a good debate. And so anyway... We do have Harry Stryker here, but we also have Mike McKay in the studio, who was going to give a little reaction to the debate himself. And Harry Stryker of Stryker's Shooting World, we're delighted to have him here. But we got to get into the debate a little bit. And Mike, what was your reaction to this this free for all in Vegas?
Well, it was. I think everybody did a fairly decent job. The undercard was actually more interesting to me watching Lindsey Graham. I thought that he finally made some headway. And
yeah.
It's amazing. He's been on the national scene for so long.
He was like a fetus. He finally made some headway.
Yeah, in a manner of speaking, sure. But I thought he had some interesting things to say about Islam and Muslims in the military and saying that they're not the enemy. Obviously, radical Islam is. The religion itself is not. I mean, that was some of the points that he was making.
All right. So one of the things that I said, I couldn't help but notice this moment in the debate when someone said to Trump, Trump wants to kill the families of the terrorists. And Donald Trump did not step up and say, that's a total misapprehension, a misstatement of my position. Now, clearly, even if he wanted to kill the families of terrorists, he wouldn't be able to do it in America. But what was your thinking behind you? You thought maybe he didn't hear?
Yeah, maybe he wasn't paying attention to that. But maybe after the fact that somebody repeated it to him, he might think that, hey, wait a second, that may not be such a bad idea. Each time he says something outrageous, his polls numbers go up and he might think, well, that's my next outrageous statement.
And it certainly, well, it was, I guess, a non-statement, a non-response. But so who in your mind did you think did well last night from your observation?
Well, certainly Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz went back and forth several times. And Ted Cruz has the reputation of being a great debater. And he is a very articulate, intelligent man. No question about that.
Harvard grad. Yeah.
I think between the two of them, Marco Rubio had a better night in that exchange than Ted Cruz. Certainly, Jeb Bush finally made some headway, if you will, saying that Donald Trump couldn't insult his way to the presidency, and they seem to be getting under Donald Trump's skin. I would like to paraphrase that you can't insult your way to the presidency. I would say Donald Trump can't mug his way to the presidency. The facial expressions with him
he
all
mugged,
night
not,
were
not,
beyond...
Not hitting somebody over the head and taking their wallet, but making antic facial expressions.
Yeah.
And I mean, is he good at it or is he good at it?
Well, Mike? It's funny to watch, but I'm not quite sure that it strikes me as
is it New York style? Is it New York style?
No, not necessarily. I mean, Harry, he always gets on me because I was born in New York City and grew up in Brooklyn and so on. So somehow or another, I'm supposed to be on Donald's side.
Well, you're the Trump.
I'm like the quintessential New Yorker.
You're the Trump of Bravo Mike, you know?
Well, I don't know how to take that. But you know what? You know, the thing of it is that obviously the national defense was the topic and so on. And in the earlier debate, Wolf Blitzer was saying Americans are afraid. They're very afraid. And to me, what strikes me, the whole thing about terrorism and terrorism, when you look at the polls, is the number one fear of Americans. But is it really?
We talked about this yesterday.
What do Americans really worry about? They worry about losing their job. They worry about loved ones having symptoms of a disease that they're going to the doctor. How is it going to turn out? What is it? That's the thing that people lie awake at night. I don't think that people lie awake. I say the majority, some lie awake at night and worry about terrorism. But in the very heart of terrorism, the whole thing about terrorism is make people afraid. So if you can make people afraid, you win.
But if you,
no matter what you do,
if you're worried about your health, you know, not everybody's worried about their health. That's an individual issue. But for terrorism, that's broad. If it hits one person, it's likely to hit more than one at the same time. And you know, just
but still,
yeah,
no disrespect certainly to the victims. It's terrible. But you said how many? You know, a relative few compared to other things that affect our.
Well, but I mean, when on 9/11, it wasn't a relative few.
Still a relative few when you consider. I mean,
3,000
people. Sure. I mean, it was a massive attack. It was a successful attack from the standpoint of terrorism, but that hasn't been duplicated since. I mean, San Bernardino tragedy. What happened in Paris? Tragic stuff. But still,
should we become like Europe and just expect it?
I think we should. I think we
That's
should
the issue.
Still do things that secure us. But at the same time, I don't think. At the end of the day, people lie awake and really are afraid of them themselves being affected.
Let me respond to this. I think that people hear the policies or the attitudes in speeches of these public officials and they get angry because they think this is one thing that we could nip in the bud if we approached it right. And then they hear the president come out and say, you know, we need to cut back on guns and we need, you know, he seemed to be not focusing on Islamic terrorism. And the upshot on that is that people felt like they heard the next day, 85,000 Syrians he's going to bring in next year and 100,000 the year after, 90,000, whatever. People feel like he's not taking it seriously. It's upsetting to them.
With the issue of guns, there was a suggestion that people on the no-fly list be banned from getting guns. And obviously there was a tremendous pushback against that and saying, oh, there's a lot of people on the no-fly list that shouldn't be on the no-fly list. And once you get on the no-fly list, you never get off and so on. However, there doesn't seem to be a massive protest against the no-fly list itself. I mean, nobody seems to worry about that. But whatever, they get it wrong sometimes. But the idea of putting terrorists, people who are assumed to be terrorists, on a list where they can't get guns has received a tremendous pushback.
Well,
tremendous pushback.
I think,
and the criticism being, well, they don't get it right all the time. And so...
All right, so it's 7:06, and we talked the first hour about the debate. It was an interesting debate. To me, the most interesting was when Donald Trump, a kid, came on and said something that I had never heard before, that Trump planned to kill the families of terrorists. I believe that Trump said that we can't let them just walk away scot-free. This kid gets up and says kill, And Trump doesn't say, no, I don't agree with that. I think that is the way that Trump plays, though. The way he rolls is he doesn't always correct people who he disagrees with, even when they're making claims about him. But interesting debate. In any event, we've got Harry Stryker, who's been patient enough to wait through the first hour of debate talk. And welcome to the show, Harry.
Thank you, Kelly. Good to be here.
All right. And so Harry's got Shooter's World, and it's down on Valley. And what's the address?
415B. Kelly, we're just about a quarter of a block south of Amador.
Okay. And how is it that you ended up owning a gun store?
Oh, I've always been very interested in firearms. They're kind of works of art in metal to me. And my son was working at that store, and I decided that's good. Might be a good business opportunity. I was looking to get out of other types of work I was doing.
Oh, okay. So these have been prime years to sell guns in the last, say, 8 years.
Yes, sir. It's been the gun industry has been through a lot of, ups and downs, more than peaks and valleys, but they've been very good. That's true.
Okay. And so you've got a shooting range over there. You've got a lot of pistols on the wall. You've got hunting rifles. You've got things that they would call, what's the popular term for it? Commando weapons. They look like
assault weapons.
Yeah, assault rifles.
The misnomer the press has given those rifles.
Yeah, they go off of what they look like as opposed to what their capabilities are. But anyway, let's get into this a little bit. We just had the shooting in California, and the president got up and said, basically, if we only had better gun laws, the implication was we wouldn't be dealing with situations like this. As the owner of a gun store and a guy that spent a lot of time thinking and researching Second Amendment issues, what is your response to that?
Well, Kelly, you can't buy a firearm if you are a criminal. And it's kind of an interesting situation. If anyone ever saw the forms you fill out for purchase of a firearm, you state you're not a felon. You state you have no criminal background, domestic abuse, all of these things. And people say, well, people can lie to that. Yes, you can lie to that on the form, which is a felony in itself, like lying on your taxes. However, you go through a background check through the NICS, National Instant Criminal Background System, which ultimately goes to the FBI. So if you have any background of criminal activity, you're pretty well vetted before you get a gun, and people will say,
"All right, well, we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. I'm here with Harry Stryker from Stryker's World. Who's this?
Oh, this is Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to agree with Mr. Stryker. I'm a health professional, and there's just wide consensus that we're built burying our head in the sand, and the real problem is we're not monitoring our mental health patients. The mental health treatment in this country is way off.
It's abysmal. Psychiatric care and on mental health medication and for the most part SSRI medication.
Right, exactly. And there's never any follow-up. There's never any accountability. I'm sure Medicare and Medicaid reimbursement was involved. And we have a right to understand what's going on. But there's never any follow-up. There's never any focus to that. And it's very damaging to the country that just neglect and burying our head in the sand. But anyway, I want to thank Mr. Stryker. It's a great addition to the area. It's a nice business. But I want to ask this.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate
it. Snake shot. What's snake shot? Because I'm thinking about it. And if it's, is it something to take out snakes?
Yes, that's exactly what it is. It's,
Hold on, Steve.
A lot of animals that you have to put down around here. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the call. All right, so Harry, what is snake shot?
Snake shot is exactly what it says, Kelly. It's a small shot pellets in pistol calibers that are used to take out snakes.
All right. So I'm thinking of snake bit. Listening to the Second Amendment debate, I feel a little bit snake bit.
Yeah, it's, I just want to say I agree with Steve totally about mental health. We no longer have mentally ill people in the United States since about the 1980s when they closed all of the mental health institutions. And the HIPAA laws have prevent anybody from saying or finding out if someone does have mental health issues.
Well, there was a debate that was going on in the 1980s and before that, the 60s and 70s, over the issue of whether mentally ill people had rights. And the summary, the conclusion of the debate was that they did have rights, and if they wanted to check themselves out of mental health institutions, even though they were crazy or mentally challenged, or some major personality disorder or psychiatric condition, they were allowed to leave. And, I mean, one of the hallmarks of mental illness is the belief that you're not mentally ill, everybody else is.
Yes, absolutely. I agree with that. I am certainly not a mental health professional, but I have certainly seen my share, as everyone has, of people who are mentally unstable. And to put a gun in their hands, Steve was actually very correct. Every single school shooting, the person has been on Ritalin and SSRIs.
Now, SSRI is serotonin interruption medication, and serotonin has to do with sleep cycles.
Yes. When you're deprived of sleep, your serotonin levels go down. Serotonin actually helps the little synaptic clefts make the jump in the nerves, and that causes, when it doesn't happen, things get very paranoia can be a result. And so, you know, these people, they have issues anyway, and it just exacerbates the situation. So yes, I am 100% for Second Amendment rights, but I am 100% for people that shouldn't have a gun. It's not a good formula for success.
All right, so here's the question. Do we have a system where mentally ill people can and will get at weapons? That's an issue.
Well, I think it's been proven over with some of these shootings. Yes, they can. I had one situation where a person came in to purchase a firearm. And fortunately, someone had the nerve to call and say that person shouldn't have a gun. And I confirmed it. And so I did not sell them a gun. People may not realize a gun store does not have to make a gun sale. I turned down a lot of sales of people that I feel have no business having a firearm just by the conversations we've had, things like that. We are the gun industry, all in all, is a reputable business. However, there are people in the gun industry, just like in the automotive repair or any other industry, that are dishonest, and money is the only thing that matters to them.
All right, and so I'm going to ask you. About the issue of these gun, what are they, you set up the booths and everything, and you're selling
gun shows.
Yeah, gun shows. What's the reality on that? The impression is you can go in without any background check whatsoever and get any kind of weapon you wanted. We're here with Harry Stryker from Stryker's Shooting World. If you have any questions about guns, certainly call in. But also, I'm going to ask Harry just for a little bit of leadership on how to approach getting your first weapon, how to get trained. We'll be right back, 7:15. It's AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. 523-1450, and we'll be back to chat about gun shows. We're here with Harry Stryker and Stryker's World, and we're talking about guns. Okay, so a person who can't get a gun goes to a, what do they call gun carnivals?
Gun show.
Gun show, and they can buy a machine gun with a round clip. Is that correct?
No, that's as far from the truth as you can get, Kelly. A person who goes to a gun show may buy a gun from a private individual without doing a background check, but that is federal law. I can sell you a gun without doing a background check as personal transactions. There's no machine guns. Can't buy machine guns. That's totally regulated by federal law. There's just a lot of misinformation about that gun show, quote unquote, loophole. It is not a loophole. It is just the way the federal law has been set up. Gun show people do not sell guns to criminals. Criminals don't go to gun shows because they're criminals. They don't want to buy a gun.
They might hold up a gun show.
Oh, you could, yes.
All right, so give us some advice on a little leadership here. A person has seen what's going on, and they've drawn the conclusion that the government, in many instances, cannot protect them because of the random nature of these shootings. And especially now, a lot of people have drawn the conclusion that there's sleeper cells out there that have yet to be activated. They're nervous, and they listen to the president. They don't feel like he is even interested in anybody having a gun. But people want to be personally protected for themselves, for their families, for their friends, coworkers, and everything. Given that as a background, there's a lot of unrest and unease, and having a gun would take away a certain level of this. But a lot of people don't know anything about guns. What do you suggest?
Well, Kelly, everything you said, I firmly believe in. I think the president and a lot of people have their head in the sand about what can and has happened in the United States. A gun, if there had been one person in San Bernardino with a gun, it might have saved a lot of lives. Just one of the people inside that building.
Because you go from a person who's shooting ducks in a gallery, who's at the carnival trying to knock over bottles, to someone who's been in a firefight.
Absolutely. And if one person shoots at them and distracts them, certainly someone else can come up and knock them down in the small type of environment they were in. But that's a matter of, you know, personal courage. If you firearms give us a degree of safety, but make no mistake, firearm makes you a good shooter, like owning a guitar makes you a musician. You need to learn how to use it. You need to know when to use it. Certainly if your life is threatened, that's the time to use a firearm. Purchasing a firearm is a very simple procedure, but needs to be a very well thought out decision. You have to be willing to use that firearm. Having one and pointing it at someone many times will defuse the situation, but it isn't the panacea for everything. Someone who's determined may still come at you. Buying firearms in the store, we have all kinds of, my staff is very knowledgeable. We have classes we can teach you how to use it. We have an indoor shooting range. It's heated and cooled. Pop right over there and do some shooting. The first time you buy your gun, you can walk right through the door and go in and try some shooting.
Do you have weapons that people can use in the store if they don't have one of their own?
We absolutely do. You can just come down and rent. I have 25 or 30 different handguns and about 6 or 8 different rifles. You can debunk the assault rifle. Assault rifles have to be fully automatic by definition, and no one buys a fully automatic weapon. So, yes, because it's black, because it has certain attachments to it, does not change that gun into an assault weapon.
And we do have a phone call here. Thanks for calling the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning. Good morning. This is Jim. How are you doing?
Hey, Jim, what's up and what's on your mind?
Well, you know, I was just going to listen to your show, and I'm sure glad to hear Mr. Stryker on there. I've used his indoor range on numerous occasions, and I've asked questions of his people, and they are extremely knowledgeable, willing to spend time with you. But I am one of the guys, as many of us here are, that have taken the classes, have been background checked. FBI runs us through their system. State runs us through their system. And I received a concealed carry permit, and I think Mr. Stryker will I'm sorry?
Well, I didn't say anything, but I'm waiting for the point.
Oh, Mr. Stryker, I'm sure hopefully you will agree with this, but when I carry my firearm, I was in the military, and I think it's common sense that when you carry that, you're responsible for its use, number one. And number two, Kelly, most of gun-free zones is where this is happening. So when I go into an area like that, my mindset is one that it cannot be just reflex or just all of a sudden it happens. My mind says today there could be a potential shooting here, and I've zeroed in my mind that what step I will take, where I will sit, to be able to avoid that confrontation at first, or to be able to counteract whoever comes with that firearm to hurt me or somebody else.
All right. So your point, you kind of made a long point. What's the summary of your statements?
Proper training and being able to know where and when to use that and how to position yourself, prepare your mind just in case something happens.
Very
be
good
trained.
Point. Thanks, Jim. All right. So it's not enough to have a weapon or know how it works or be able to fire it. You have to be trained.
Absolutely. No one jumps in a car and goes and tries to drive. You're dangerous with it, Kelly. So firearm training is critical. And I think a point that Jim made that's excellent is going into these gun-free zones. Actually, a lot of stores and stuff will have a no firearm sign. And when I do go in there, that's a store that I'm not going to spend any more money in. And I give the owner a card. It says, "You made a decision to ban guns in your store. I'm going to respect that decision and take my gun and my money to a competing business. You've lost my business today, and until you allow the tools of self-defense in your business." So, well, the good thing, a concealed carry person that comes into your store has been through 16 hours of training. They're concealing their firearm, and they only want to use it in self-defense. Criminals are the ones you have to worry about.
Well, here's the thing. There is this, and I think there's a lot of ideas in liberalism that sound plausible, but when you scratch beneath the surface, they're totally contradictory to the point. Liberalism would at its heart like to get rid of all guns, and then we'll have a safer world. Now, it's true if there was not one single gun in the world, there wouldn't be any gun deaths. But that's not the world that we live in. We've got hundreds of millions of guns in America. To make a law banning all guns wouldn't get rid of all guns. It would mean the people that followed the law scrupulously would get rid of their guns, and then other people that didn't would have guns. So we're left with the situation that the criminals already have guns. The question is, will law-abiding citizens have guns?
Well, you know, Kelly, if you want to see a good model of how that worked, let's take a look at Australia. Let's take a look at England. Violent crime rose 46% in the first year after Australia banned guns, made people turn in their guns. Well, guess who had the guns? Just like you said, the criminals.
And it went up by 300% in England, if I'm not mistaken, yes, after they banned guns.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, how would you like to be that one of those people in England that their whole business and their life was in one of the stores during those riots? And here's 300 people just come in and destroy it. And they have a stick or a rock to protect themselves with. You don't stand a chance against that kind of violence. So when you look at, there's a criminal doesn't obey any laws, so they're certainly not going to turn in a gun if they have one. And banning guns, like you said, it takes away a law-abiding citizen's right to protect himself.
All right, so we're going to come back. We're talking to Harry Stryker. He was kind enough to come on this morning and then was patient enough with the debate. I didn't realize that the debate was coinciding with you coming on, but at least you came on for 2 hours, and we can talk about guns now. I'm going to ask him about what the law says about buying and owning a weapon, and what regulations are, so you can understand what you have to be able to pass through to get a gun. And I believe we've got a little bit of shooting time to give away on the show as well. 729 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, 523-1450 Kelly O'Connell Show. And we'll be back, and here's a little local news for you. All right, so we had this giant debate. One of the issues that was said, there was that Donald Trump, somebody said, would wanted to kill the families of terrorists. He didn't confirm it, but he didn't deny it. But there's a lot of violence out there, and there's a lot of fear. And people, I know when I was in the, we came by to talk to you about the show, a guy came in, I believe, and said, I'm a Democrat, but I'm interested in getting a weapon. Maybe that was somebody said to me, but we've got a call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, so this is Eric.
Yeah, what's up?
Okay, first off, just real quick, and then I want to go into guns. But on December 2nd, on Fox and Friends, Trump said he would kill the families of terrorists.
Okay, I'll try to find that clip and go on.
Okay, one of the things that I think really needs to be pointed out, especially about these quote-unquote assault weapons, is that long rifles are almost never used to murder people in this country. Last year in 2014, 248 long rifles of all types were used to kill people illegally. That's out of almost 12,000 gun deaths.
All right. And so your point?
My point is that trying to ban so-called assault weapons, which when you narrow that down, it was less than 80 people in the United States were murdered last year by quote-unquote assault weapons. It's just a feel-good measure. It's not intended to stop anything because it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Although they are horrendous, and my sympathy for people that are innocently killed by people that are obviously mentally unstable, I feel terrible for their families. But why doesn't this nation have the compassion for the 45,000 automobile deaths every year that are by accident? And these are accidental gun deaths. I can't wrap my hands around that. For some reason, guns are the evil. It's an easy hit for politicians and people in the press, in my opinion.
And I agree with that. I mean, cars kill more people. More children drown every year in swimming pools than are killed purposely or accidentally.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. 1,500 drowning. Well, accidental deaths by guns in America last year, about approximately 1,500. So let's take a look at accidental deaths by cars, 45,000. But for some reason, that 1,500 is an enormous number that we can control. We can't control it. They're accidents.
Right. There's no way to get around the fact that people are going to make mistakes with firearms, with weapons. They're going to leave chemicals that they clean their house without where their three-year-old is going to ingest them. Bad things happen to good people, and you can't, by trying to restrict or ban things, you're not going to make that stop.
That's the truth.
Thanks for the call, Eric. Have a good day. All right. So I'm looking for this. Let's take a little break because I'm looking for this clip. I don't know. I don't think he said we're going to kill their families, but I think he said we're going to take them out, and which you could see as to kill them or to prosecute them or to eject them from the country. Got to be careful that we don't put words in other people's mouths. On the other hand, though, this was directly stated to him, and he didn't blink, and he didn't say it wasn't correct last night. So 737 flying the friendly skies here with Harry Stryker, AM Las Cruces 1450, KOBE 523-1450, and we'll be back. And we do have some shooting time to give away. Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this? Who is this?
Hi, it's Karen.
Sorry, hold on just a second.
Okay.
Sorry, who's this?
It's Karen Kelly.
Hey, sorry about that. I was trying to find this clip and I accidentally had it playing. What's going on?
Hey, well, I want to make a comment and then I want some shooting time.
So can Karen have some shooting time? Karen, what is your phone number?
I'll give you my cell, 635-1930.
I'm going to have Harry call you after the show, okay?
Sweet. Yes, thank you.
All right, thanks. Hey, this is Kelly. Who's this?
Oh, good morning, Kelly. This is Bob.
Hey, Bob, what's up?
I have a question for your guest.
Okay. What is the nature of the question so I can introduce it?
I'm a snowbird, and I have a concealed carry in another state which has reciprocity with New Mexico.
Okay.
And is there any advantage to me to have a New Mexico concealed carry?
Okay.
Can I get one?
Okay. I'm going to put you on hold, and I'll let you ask that on the air, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks. Dude, I've got 6,000 technically, but I think probably in and out more people than that. My numbers say 6,000, which is a significant percent of the... Kelly here, and I've got Harry Stryker from Stryker's World, and we have a question about an out-of-state concealed carry permit, and what was the question?
Yes, well, I'm a snowbird. I live half the time here and half the time in another state. And I have a concealed carry permit and has full reciprocity with New Mexico. But is there any advantage, or would there be an advantage to me to have a New Mexico concealed carry? Or could I even legally get one since my driver's license is in another state?
There's no advantage, Bob, for you to have a New Mexico concealed carry permit. And actually, one of the requirements of the permit is that you are a resident of New Mexico. So,
okay. Well, that answers my question.
If you got reciprocity, don't spend the $250 to get the permit, but just realize that when you're in New Mexico with another state's permit, you must obey the New Mexico laws as they pertain to concealed carry. Okay?
Thanks, Bob.
I understand. What, do you have classes that would just cover that aspect?
You can just come down and chat with me if you want. I don't have a class specifically for it.
Address and phone number.
Yes, we're at 415B South Valley Drive. You can call us.
I know where you're at. So.
Oh, great. Okay, yeah. Just stop by and chat. We'd be happy to talk with you.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks, Bob.
Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
It's Karen. Good morning. Can you hear me, Kelly?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, hey, can you, Mr. Stryker, what happens if you just ignore the signs not to enter a business with a weapon?
Well,
I don't want to pay attention. I know it's horrible to say this, but I'm being honest.
I don't blame you, Karen. That becomes a personal, a moral sounds like a big word, but it becomes a personal choice on your part to not go into a gun free zone, which is what we call a target rich environment.
Exactly.
So legally, you are guilty of a petty misdemeanor, which is like a traffic ticket, until you use a firearm in that environment.
Mm-hmm.
Now you probably could be charged with a felony. It could go up that high, depending on what happened, the environment, the DA's decision on what he wants to prosecute. So there's a saying in the gun world that you might be familiar with. I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6.
Yes, indeed.
So that's where it becomes a personal choice for each one that goes in there. And if you have a concealed carry permit, Karen, what does concealed mean? Concealed.
Thanks, Karen. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, it's Mike.
Briefly.
Hey, Kelly, I was wondering – I'd like to ask the Mr. Stryker. I recently purchased some Russian rifles, the Viper and the Segas, and they're AK-47s, and I sold them. What do I need for a receipt as far as getting it from the person I sold it to?
The best thing to do to protect yourself, actually, legally, Mike, you need nothing. The law does not require anything, but to protect yourself and the person that you purchased it from, is something with the serial numbers on the receipt, and you should write on the receipt. Anyone who sells a gun privately should write on the receipt, I have no reason to believe that this buyer is a felon and cannot own a firearm. See how that's covering you? If you knowingly sell a gun to a felon, you're going to jail, buddy.
What do you do if you didn't get a receipt when you picked them up at the FFL?
From the FFL? You bought it through an FFL?
No, the guns. I bought them off Gun Broker, and I had them sent to an FFL.
Okay.
Which is a pawn shop.
Sure, that's no problem.
And I didn't get a receipt.
Well, I would go back and get one because they're required to keep records of all of that.
And how about 3 Hail Marys?
Yeah.
Well,
I just go back and get one. You should, whenever you buy a gun or do a transfer through a licensed FFL, you should always be given a receipt.
What's an FFL for the listeners?
That is a federal firearms licensee.
Okay, so a gun shop, a
gun store, pawn shop, anyone selling guns.
Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Hey, this is Roger.
Roger, thanks for the call. Hope you're doing well. What's on your mind?
I just had a quick question for Mr. Stryker.
Go.
Can you qualify for a concealed carry-on permit? Can you qualify with any type of caliber?
Yes, up to 50 caliber. Except I take that back, Mike. Or I'm sorry. You cannot qualify with a 22. They do not allow it. You can carry one, but you must qualify with a minimum of 32 caliber.
32 caliber. And if you qualify with a 32 caliber, can you carry a 40 caliber or 45 caliber?
No, the way the New Mexico law is, you can carry with, you can carry the caliber you qualified with or anything smaller.
Anything under it. Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's what I wanted to know.
All right,
thank
partner.
Thanks,
thanks,
Roger. Okay. All right, folks, we'll take a break, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to ask Harry, a Stryker who owns Stryker's Gun World, I'm going to ask him what the basic laws for buying a gun are in this town and for getting a concealed carry. We'll cover that when we're coming back. 7:46, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And we needed to have this show for a long time, and we're finally doing it. A little bit of information and Q&A on guns. We'll be right back. Folks, 7:48, and we've got Mark D'Antonio coming on tomorrow. He's going to discuss, amongst other things, what happened at the jail and what's going on in the city and the DA's office and everything. All right. So we do have some minutes to give away in the shooting range. It's actually an all-day pass, believe it or not. Pretty generous of Harry now at Stryker's World. But, Harry, a few questions that come to mind. Number one, a person has a gun and they have a holster. Can they carry that gun on their hip out in the open with a holster in the city or in this county in the state?
Yes, they can, as long as the caveat always – Kelly, is if you can legally own a firearm. You cannot carry it anywhere that it is forbidden by law, such as federal buildings, the post office, any school, preschools, daycares. You cannot carry inside of those buildings. However, you can bring it into the parking lot because New Mexico considers your car an extension of your home or any conveyance that you use.
Okay. All right. So number two, if you have a weapon in your car and you've got it in the glove box, you've got it in the armrest, you've got it under your seat, is that a concealed carry?
No, sir. Only if you're outside of the vehicle on property.
All right. Another question. What are the rules and regulations that you have to pass through for a concealed carry?
The state of New Mexico requires a class by licensed instructors, which we do have at our store. The fee is up to the individual that's doing the class. They range around $150. It's kind of standard. You must complete that class at 16 hours, and then you fill out an application and a background check for the state of New Mexico, which you must send them fingerprints also. $100 fee for a four-year license. And then you, if you pass the background check, pass the qualifying when you shoot, you must qualify and shoot as part of the course, then you will be issued a concealed carry license.
And it lasts for 4 years. Okay, so the other guy called in and said about what other states. So if I've got a concealed carry and I'm driving from here to El Paso, what happens?
Texas does honor the New Mexico concealed license, but you must follow the laws of Texas, which requires in your car that a firearm be concealed. So it's a little different than New Mexico. And what you really need to do if you travel at all is go to the best website in the world, handgunlaws.us. It's a free website that these guys do out of the goodness of their heart, and it will tell you the laws of every state in the United States who has reciprocity, who doesn't.
All right. So you've got, let's say that you've got a woman, she's 50 years old, she's a businesswoman, she's 5'3" or whatever. What's a good size gun for her for personal protection?
Good-sized guns are the little small snub noses that people know.
38.
38 Special stub noses. They're a 5-shot hammerless revolver. Another good gun. The whole gun industry has gotten into the subcompact concealed gun mode, and there are probably 12 little semi-automatics that you can get in 380 or 9mm.
And 380 is of a size, say if you got a Targus, you could fit it into a holder that's about the same size as a pack of cigarettes.
A little bit bigger, but yes, it fits comfortably in a front pocket. You know, you and I could drop it in our pants pockets and not even know it's there.
Uh-huh. Which kind of brings up a joke from a few movies. Is that a gunner? You just happy to see me.
Yeah, happy to see me,
Okay, and so gun safety around a house, obviously a lot of people are going to think about having a gun if they've got a family, if they've got kids. How do you keep that gun safe at the same time keeping it close enough nearby to use?
That's a great question. There's actually a fantastic book by a woman named Kathy Jackson called The Cornered Cat. When you see a cat fight, really all it wants to fight is until it gets away. It's not being aggressive. She had some children, and she said, how am I going to keep a gun? She's a mom, stay-home mom, and how am I going to keep a gun on me all the time? I want to have one in my house without my children. And the smartest thing she came up with, which makes good sense, is on her. She wore the gun all the time in the house, so there was never a question, did the children have it? She was the only one that had access to it.
All right, so is it dangerous to wear a gun?
No, not at all. No, Kelly, I guarantee if I had a gun here and laid it on this counter, it would sit here for the rest of your career and never go off to shoot anybody.
All right. So somebody buys a gun and they've got the gun around. What are the chances that they accidentally shoot themselves from your experience, your observation?
From my observation, if you want to see people shoot themselves, go on the famous YouTube, put in shot myself in the leg with a 45, and you'll see how people shoot themselves. He's fast drawing the gun. Fingers on the trigger, obviously. Number 3 rule, never put your finger on the trigger. And bam, it goes off and shoots himself in the leg. And he at least is candid enough to say, I put this on there so no one else is as stupid as I was and do the same thing.
Nickname is Stumpy now?
Yeah, or Limpy. There's 4 basic rules of gun safety, Kelly. You can break 1 or 2 at times. You cannot break all 4 of them. The first one is every gun is loaded. The second one is never point a gun you don't intend to destroy or kill. Third one is never put your finger on the trigger until you are ready to shoot. Fourth one is know your target and what's behind it. You break all 4 of those rules, it is very likely something disastrous is going to happen.
Okay. All right. So let's talk AR-15s. What is an AR-15?
An AR-15 was actually made by a company named Armalite Rifle for a military contract. It is not automatic rifle. The rights to it were bought by Colt. And for years, Colt made the AR-15 for the U.S. military. It is a semi-automatic.
What does semi-automatic mean?
It means one trigger pull gets you one shot. That's all it gets. And it automatically loads another round. The semi part is the trigger pull. The automatic is that the gun is designed to load another round, so you're immediately ready to pull the trigger and use another round, versus a bolt action or single shot gun where you have to literally load a round in every single
time. Jack, a shell in. Okay. Yeah. Now, what is an AR-15 in terms of a self-defense gun? Are those good guns to rifles to own for self-defense?
Long-range self-defense, if you had it long-range, yes. Inside the house, personally, and it's, everyone has an opinion, I think it's a poor rifle inside a house because it has the capability to go through so many walls. It has enough velocity and power that you could shoot through 3 or 4 walls, come out the other side, and you need to know as a gun owner, you're responsible for every projectile that you set loose until it stops.
And that's legally, too. There is the foreseeable outcome of any actions, and one of which is this, if you shoot a gun and it goes where you don't want it to go, you can still be held liable.
Absolutely.
All right, so what's a good rifle or a good gun to have in the house for self-defense?
Well, as much as I don't believe anything else Joe Biden says, a shotgun actually is one of the best because it does not easily penetrate walls. It puts out a large pattern. Don't forget, it's 2 a.m. in the morning, you just woke up and it's dark. And if you're going to point at somebody, it's a lot better to have a 14-inch or so pattern with shot. If shot does go through the wall, it's very seldom it gets all the way through and is lethal. So those are good, you know, short shotguns.
And if you see the neighbor's cat on the back porch, you know,
there you go.
That's a good weapon. Okay, so all right. So if people come into your shop, what can they expect? And we're running out of time here.
Okay, they're going to get excellent treatment. They're going to see about a display of 300 to 400 different kinds of firearms. Novice to expert, we can handle every person that comes in the store. We can order firearms. We have ammunition. We have accessories.
Training. Advice.
We have training. We have advice. We will never sell someone a gun and say, yep, that's the gun for you, without asking, what's your purpose? Self-protection, playing, sports shooting. We're going to cater to that person's individual desires.
Okay. But Harry, I want to thank you for coming in and being a good sport, waiting for the first hour through the debate talk. But it's very fascinating.
It's been my pleasure.
Fascinating. And one more time, your address and your phone.
We are at 415B South Valley, just south of Amador by a quarter of a block. And we are at 523-2424, of course, area code 705. If you like, I can leave you some things to give away.
Sure.
I'm in the range, but
we'll give those away tomorrow.
Whenever you like.
Okay, so we'll give you away some all-day shooting pass. You can go down. You can get a gun and shoot it and see how it feels. And depending on what your need is, and Harry or his staff, and I've talked to his staff before, very knowledgeable and very make you feel real comfortable. You can get the gun that you want that's right for your situation. You can protect yourself and your family. Folks, thanks for listening, and you've been hearing the AM Las Cruces 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell. We're going to come back in 22 hours, and we're going to have a little Mark D'Antonio, and we're going to pick it up again. What the crazy stuff going on in the county. Have a great day, and stay warm. It's pretty cold out there. Ciao.